This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
Good morning. Oh, thank you. No, please, please, please. That was warm. That was a warm welcome. I kind of want it hot. I'm going to have to talk to Adam later, but that's all right. No, thank you. That was great. It's good to be here with you again. Love The Orchard. Love what's happening here. You guys rock. Mike rocks. Wasn't that great? And love the fact that I'm going to be kicking off this series. What a great opportunity here, except I have one little issue. Not sure why you didn't choose my Michael Jackson selection. How many Michael Jackson fans out there? Come on. All right, there's a few. Man in the Mirror. What's the deal? So because you didn't, I'm going to have to do a little Michael Jackson for you here. All right, so hee-hee-hoo. All right, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. No, that's all I've got. Yes, Child of the 80s, Thriller, all that good stuff. It was, wow, takes me back. But anyway, but that's okay. That was pretty good. And Mike was like, I'm really glad because I don't know if I could have done that. But that's all right. I think he could. He's a versatile guy. But it is good to be here with you. If I seem a little scattered after the service, hopefully not during the talk this morning, but it's because I am officially Mr. Mom this week. My wife and my 15-year-old daughter, they are actually down in Haiti on a missions trip. They're working with an orphanage down there, and so I'm getting some Facebook updates from them and loving what I'm hearing, although it's kind of heart-wrenching to hear some of the conditions down there, but it is great to be able to send them off. But there are choices that we make, and because of that choice, I am also now living with a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old and a 15-pound Westie with allergy issues. It's not good at all. I didn't know dogs could cough up fur balls, and so that's been happening at about 2 in the morning. I hear this. I mean, it's the worst sound. Anybody have a dog? I mean, do dogs do that? I thought that was a cat thing. Yesterday I was talking about it. Somebody came up and they were like, that's why I like horses, because they can't do that. And I'm like, really? I never knew that. And they were like, yeah, if they do that, they die. Why would I want an animal that's going to die? But anyway. That's all right, but I did learn something new last night, so that was good. So last night after the service, I had to get home, and my lawn was like up to here. So you know, I got the old, you know, but I was mowing my lawn last night, and then all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I'm looking, and I see this. There's this truck that stopped by the house, and my kids were playing outside. Normally, you know, my wife's watching the kids while I'm mowing the lawn, and so I'm like, wait a minute. That truck's not normally there. So stop the lawnmower. I go over, and who is it? It's the ice cream man. And this is a new ice cream man. He has the bell, just a bell. That's it. There's no music playing. It's just a bell. But it sounds a little bit like the child catcher from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. You know what I'm talking about? So I was like, that is just not a good sound. I don't want to hear that. So anyway, so he's there, and I look up, and my kids are like this. And I'm like, wait a minute, why are they jumping up and down? We're not getting ice cream. So I look up at the ice cream man, and he's going like this. And I'm like, what is happening? So I get a little closer, and I recognize it's my child's, my 6-year-old's piggy bank that she had run up to the room and gotten. They were jumping up and down. And here this ice cream man is with big, you know, his eyes are huge, like, this is great, you know? And I'm serious. He's got, like, this wad of change in his hand. So anyway, just for accountability purposes, I came up and I counted out the exact amount of money because I think he was thinking it was his lucky day. So anyway, kids are taken care of. They're out having a great time, but a little bit crazy. And then this last week, to top it all off, my internet goes out. Now, I can handle a lot of things. I can handle fur balls in the middle of the night. I can handle my kids going and grabbing their piggy bank. But when the internet goes out, what do? I'm offline. What is that about? I don't understand. It's a whole new world when you're offline. You know what I mean? And so I'm in the corner just trying to find a happy place, you know, because I don't know what to do with myself. So I call the guy up and I say, hey, my internet's not working. And they were like, well, you got a bad router. And I'm like, that's not my router. That's your router that you gave me. And he was like, oh, well, we can fix that problem. And it'll be quick and painless. And I'm like, well, what is that? And they said, well, we can do an upgrade. And we all know an upgrade is code word for pull out your wallet, right? So anyway, I'm just like, well, what does an upgrade look like? All right, well, an upgrade looks like this. And so he goes, you can do the Unipack, and that is a little bit higher internet upgrade. Or you can do the double pack, and we can also give you telephone service, digital. You can call anywhere, 1 million minutes a month. Wow, that's fantastic. And then, but you could do the finale, and you could do the triple pack. What's the triple pack? Well, the triple pack includes television. And if you do that, you can get 100 channels, you can get 200 channels, you can get 1 million channels. You know, doesn't it feel that way anymore? It's like, how many channels could there be? You know, there's going to be, God bless you, there's going to be the sneezing channel and the furball channel. Who knows? It's a niche market out there. But the reality is we have a lot of choices. I figured that out this last week, especially as it related to how many just channels I could get, how many things I could do. In fact, every day we are bombarded with choices. And now that I'm Mr. Mom, I'm realizing, wow, there's a lot more than I even realized. But if you think about it, from the moment you wake up in the morning, oh, wait a minute, let me rephrase that. I guess if you're a student, you don't have to worry about this. But from the moment you decide to wake up in the morning, all right? Because if you're a student on summer break, how many of you out there are like, yeah, I don't even have to wake up in the morning. Oh, God bless you. Oh, for those days again. But if you wait, but it's a choice, starting with, do I get the alarm or not? Or do I hit the snooze button? And because we live in a consumer-driven society, the number of choices that we have today will probably double again next year. They say that in 1970, the average grocery store had about 5,000 items. Today, the average grocery store has about 25,000 to 30,000 items. Remember back in the day when the only apple you could buy was Red Delicious? I didn't even know these other hybrid crazy mixtures existed, you know? I mean, there's honeydew watermelon apple, and I'm like, how? I mean, I don't know. I don't want to know. But there's so many things, so many choices, even in this, and we have exponentially more and more all the time. And how many of you remember the good old days of television when you only had 3 channels? Unless you had rabbit ears and you could do one of these. Honey, UHF, it's coming in strong. Anybody remember that? Yes, thank you. Not that old, all right? And then video games. There was one video game. It was easy. You go to Sears, right? And it's called Pong. And it was amazing. Boop. Boop. Oh my. This is going to change everything. Boop. This is incredible. Boop. And you'd spend hours just going, boop, 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 boop. It's like a heart monitor, you know, and your heart rate or something like that. But it was Pong and it was incredible. Well, now we know that's kind of ridiculous because we have multiple video games for every kind of genre. I'm waiting for them to have some sort of church simulation video game. That would probably be bad, wouldn't it? I'm sure it's out there. I'm sure it's out there somehow. But it starts young, even with kids. Kids are now, they're conditioned at an early age on choices. Disney or Nickelodeon or Disney 3 or Disney 4 or on demand, 3,000 channels right here before you. And parents kind of like the choice. It's not so bad. or 20 cereals, or how many stuffed animals, or which one. One parent told me, you know what, we have so many choices, and our kids have so many choices today that I don't even like it. They're like, here's my choices for my kids, all right? It's this. If they're under 4 years of age, it is, do you want more green beans, or are you good with the amount of green beans you have? And I'm like, that's not such a bad idea. But life is made up of a series of choices. The series we're getting into is called I Choose. And we have ever-increasing amounts of choices in our lives. One of my favorite books is by the good doctor, Dr. Seuss, and it's called Oh, the Places You'll Go. Anybody like that book? Yes, great book. And this book in particular is about a guy. He's on a journey, and along the way, he's got a lot of different choices that he could make. And there's a little bit of wisdom in the book, and there's a part that says it like this. It says, you will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right in three quarters, or maybe not quite? Or go around back and sneak in from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind maker upper to make up his mind. The wisdom of Dr. Seuss. And I like that because what Seuss, I think, was trying to say was that, you know, there's going to be times in your life where the choices it's not going to be that easy. There's going to be times when the signs pointing go this way aren't exactly going to say that. They're not going to be marked. And it might be a little dark. And the choices might be a little bit difficult to make. Some easy, some more difficult. Some have little consequence, like do I get the double pack or do I upgrade to the triple pack? Or things like, do I watch Conan tonight or Colbert or whatever they may be? Or do I hit the snooze button or not? Others have a little bit more consequence to them, such as, do I say yes when he pops the question? Or do I accept the counter offer from the real estate agent? Choices make up our lives. Stephen Covey says we're constantly making choices about the way that we spend our time, from the major seasons to the individual moments of our lives. We're also living with the consequences of those choices, and many of us don't like those consequences, especially when we feel there's a gap between how we're spending our time and what we feel is deeply important in our lives. And sometimes that gap can grow bigger and bigger, and that gap is called frustration. Choices are one thing that every single one of us have in common. And the reality is that we are the sum of the choices we have made leading up to this moment of our lives. Think about that for a moment. We are currently where you are. Context, you are here, okay? So put that arrow over your head. Who you are right now sitting in those chairs, you are the sum total of choices that you have made in your life leading up to this point. And the irony of it is that the choices that we've made in our lives also determine how we will respond to future choices that we're faced with. Well, the great news about choices in this series of I Choose is that we're not left to our own devices, because God gave us a book, and no, it wasn't Dr. Seuss's book, even though it was a good one, but he gave us his word that helps us and guides us with choices. In fact, in the very first book of Genesis, we're given a choice, and it's pretty easy. Do you eat of the fruit? Do they not eat of the fruit? But right off the bat, God's saying, you know what? I'm going to allow you to make some choices in life. What will you choose? And throughout the rest of the book, some good choices, some not so good choices. Do I look at that burning bush and check out what it's about, or do I go the other way? Do I take this slingshot and try to take down that huge giant? Do I take the next step with this married woman, Bathsheba? Do I say yes and follow a carpenter who tells a lot of stories and does some miracles? Do I deny that I know Jesus or admit that I'm a follower of his? Do I get on that cross or do I skip it altogether and do I just skip Jerusalem and head on down south? You know, when we look at a portrait of those who actually made good choices in the Bible, it gives us some great insight into patterning our lives in such a way that these good choices become easier regardless of the scale of consequence. You can make choices on a low scale of consequences easier, or on those serious level 10 scales easier if we look at the pattern of some of these lives. And I love how Jesus taught about this because he always used stories, he used word pictures, and anybody else glad that he did this? You know, just simple, you know, I'm like, you know, make it easy, give me a picture. And one picture that he uses many times is he uses the pictures of plants. Now, do we have any green thumbs out there? Anybody? Okay, no. You know what? You're just too proud to admit it, right? How about any green thumb wannabes? All right, there we go. A few more. See, I'm a green thumb wannabe. I want my plants to look good. They typically do not look good. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know what the secret is. So if somebody could let me in, or maybe I need to watch the Green Thumb channel. I think with the triple pack, maybe I'll get that. But the reality is, for us today, planting, it's not that big of a deal. Now, it's fun. It's a hobby. I like to see flowers come up in the spring. And every spring, I'm like, why didn't I plant those bulbs in the fall? You know what I mean? Because really, it's either a hobby or it's just a way for your yard to look better than your neighbor's yard. Right? Anybody tracking with me on that? Nobody's that evil. You're all much better than I am. Because if you think about it, your neighbor's yard is just like a fireworks display. And you look at your yard and you're like, dirt. Should have planted ahead of time. But see, in Jesus' day in the first century, it wasn't like a hobby. It wasn't a way to make your yard better. Plants were life. You don't go to Myers and you're like, I wonder which kind of apple I'm going to, that one over there or this one in aisle 17. No, it wasn't like that. You go and you dig and you plant the seeds and you watch the plant grow, because if it doesn't grow, you don't eat. It's that simple back in the day. And so people back then had an intimate knowledge of plants. They just knew it much better than we do, because if we want to avoid plants, basically we can, because some of us do have allergies and whatever else. But back in the day, in his time, it was essential that you understood things. And in John's gospel, Jesus talks specifically about a vine. He says in chapter 15, verse 5, he says, I am the vine. So he's giving you context here in your life. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do a lot. Right? Anybody? Anyone? Good. All right. You're staying awake. I appreciate that. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But the whole issue of this is, again, context. He's divine, we're the branch, and if we remain in him, the good vine, the God vine, we will bear much, red delicious apples. Hey, it's a magician bag. Here we go. So, apples. Fruit. He talks a lot about fruit. And here I've got three pieces of fruit. And you know what? Here we go. All right. Anybody want to see if I can juggle? All right. Here we go. Just for your amusement pleasure. Thank you very much. You know what I realize is with these lights, it's difficult. You know, I can see now why Soriano gets caught up in the lights every now and then. I'm sorry. That was bad. I apologize. I'll call him later on today and apologize to him. But this is a great picture, word picture, of the evolution of choice. See, God wants to make his way into the center of our lives. He wants to bring the reality, which is really your mission here, to grow in that relationship into that relationship with Jesus Christ? Because, man, there's vine. And if you're tapping into that reality, then the choices become easier. Because what is the fruit on a plant but the result or actions that come from choices that we make? Because really, when the Bible talks about fruit, what is it talking about? It's talking about actions. It's talking about something that you can tangibly see in a person's life. You can be able to see, if I slap somebody, you can say, is that good fruit or bad fruit? That's going to be bad fruit. If I give somebody a hug and I say, you know what, you look great today, that's probably tasty fruit. That's good fruit. But either way, the action is the fruit. And fruit is the result of the choice that we made. And choice is the response of the heart. You see how that goes? So we've got fruit, action, then we've got the choice that we make that results in the fruit, and then you take that one step back further, and then you have the heart. Because choice is a response of the heart. And what it really means is this, that the heart is at the center of our choices. Set those up there so you can see. The heart is at the center or the epicenter of our choices. Dallas Willard, in his excellent book, Renovation of the Heart, a few years ago, he said these words. He says, we must clearly understand that there is a rigorous consistency in the human self and its action. A consistency between the human self and its action. In other words, we are what we do. Or you could say it, we are what we choose to do. Jesus said and reinforced this as much when he was talking about even our choice of words. In Matthew 12, Jesus said these words. He said, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. He says, the good man brings good things out of the good that's stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Now, I like the way sometimes that the Message puts it as well. And Eugene Peterson in his paraphrase. And he says it this way. He says, it's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. Ooh. Some of you are now taking notes. Hey, I didn't know the orchard was in the Bible. Look at that. We're there. So if you're a blight on the orchard, I'm going to ask you to just leave right now. We're going to close our eyes. You can just head out. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But think about that for a minute. A good person produces good deeds season after season. See, there's these things called annuals and perennials, right? How many of you like annuals? They're good. Yeah, there's some good things. Yeah. Perennials? Now, perennials, right? Yeah. See? Why? Because you don't have to do anything. They just come up again, hopefully. If they didn't, something's wrong. And you're like, why? Why? You know? But the perennials, they produce every time. And it's always good. And it's so, and you love that. See, the good person that has the good stored up in the heart produces season after season. Jesus also uses the plant picture again to say that you can recognize the condition. He even says it by fruit. In Matthew 7, he says, you can tell a person by their fruit, by the actions. The reality is that the choice is made easier when the heart is full. And by a full heart, what I mean is one that has good or God deposits in there. Things like this, taking in the talks on Sunday. This is great. Or Saturday night, or whatever you choose. But really taking those in. Not just, you know, like, oh man, I wonder what time the Cubs are playing. No, really listening to what we're saying on the weekends. And then actually acting on it. or reading the word, or praying, listening, loving other people. All of these are God deposits, and they fill the heart. And that leads us to choices that become easier and easier, because with a heart full of God, there's less and less room for poor decisions. Think about that. If your heart's kind of empty and you got this balloon and it's God inside, some of you are there. Some of you are like, you know what? I'm just coming online with this God thing. Don't really get it. Don't really understand it, but I want to. Well, what you're doing is it's like you just now have a balloon deposited in your heart. And the more you read, the more you understand him, and the more you really get fixated on God and what he can do in your life, it's like, and it's starting to fill up your heart. And what's actually happening is that your heart is actually expanding and growing too. And you know what? There's less and less room for the old you in your heart. And what that means is there's less and less room for choices that are going to go the opposite way of the path of Christ. There's less and less room for you to go on a detour or a rabbit trail away from what God has called you to do and also who God's called you to be. See, the reality is this: the condition of the heart determines the condition of the choice, and the condition of the choice determines the condition of the fruit. It's actually a good, another way of looking at it, you could also call it a pre-choice. Because it's, if you think about it, a lot of our choices are already made ahead of time. You've already chosen how you're going to respond because your natural default mode is no longer yourself. See, that's what happens when you decide to say, I want to follow Jesus completely. The Bible says you're now hidden with Christ. So you're back here. So what do people see in your life? They see Jesus. And what is Jesus? The Bible says that God is love. So, and again, Jesus said you're going to know who a person is by their fruit. So it's a pre-choice. The choices have already been made for you. You're going to respond in a way that is consistent with the life of Jesus. And the cool thing about this is these principles, these God principles, they didn't start just a few hundred years ago, or they started thousands and probably millions of years ago, because these just are. God choices, they're just always good, 100% of the time, regardless of what planet we live on, all right? Some of you are like, I'm not sure what planet I live on. But they also are going to be good, and you can take them to the bank thousands and thousands of years from now, should we live that long. And who knows, with the vitamins that we have currently and our triple packs. But so it looks like this, all right? And I'm no artist, but I did do a little art here. So it looks like this, all right? The deposits go in. See, isn't that good? Oh, boy, that's pathetic. Yeah, all right, thank you. Graphic design man, yes. I got a thumbs up from the graphic design. So I sent this over to Mike, and he was like, ooh, nice graphic. I'm like, thanks. I'm like, if you want to play with it and make it look cool, you can. He's like, nah, we'll just let you hang out there to dry. At least you'll get a laugh. All right, So God deposits. What do? We're coming here on the weekends. We're learning about God. What's happening? Then the next one is our heart begins to fill up. Ooh, I didn't even make the circles consistent. It's horrible. Now they're like ovals or ellipses or whatever they are. But that's all right, because you guys are people of grace, right? And you're acting out of good hearts towards me. Thank you. All right. So we got a full heart, and then the cool thing that happens, the heart fills up. And remember, the condition of the heart determines the condition of the choice, and the condition of the choice determines the condition of the fruit, which leads to transformation. See, when we've got a full heart that's full of Jesus, what happens? The choices become easier, and they look like choices that Jesus would make. And then the actions look really good, and they're consistent with that kind of lifestyle. And what happens outside of that? See the ripple effect? The reason I like the circles is because that's what happens. It's a ripple effect. And people around you, people closest to you, your neighbors, your friends, and even people beyond that, they begin to get affected by that. And suddenly, your world begins to be transformed. The fruit of the choice can transform the world. Paul says it this way in his letter to the Galatians, using, again, the Message, because I just love the way he puts this. Think about this. And he's talking about bad fruit. And before we get there, hang on, don't do that. Don't put it up just yet. Because how many of you how many of you have ever gotten like a thing of strawberries, you know? And you get them home and you open them up and you're loving it. You're like, I can't wait for these strawberries. And you open it up and all of a sudden you look and like on the bottom, they're all moldy and they're rotten. Anybody? Aren't you just ticked off? I mean, honestly, I know I'm supposed to respond out of the good and the kindness of my heart, but I don't feel like that at that moment. I want to respond by saying, what? Why would you put bad fruit out there? You know what I'm saying? Because it's so disappointing. And recently, I got one of those because they were like, strawberries were like 99 cents. And I know I like to buy strawberries, so they're like normally $3. So I'm like, yes. I get them home, and my children, they love strawberries. They love fruit. So I hand it to them, and they're like, and then all of a sudden, no, it was a tragedy. So, see, bad fruit is just bad. It tastes bad. It's probably bad for your digestive system. And it's just, nobody likes it. Nobody wants it, all right? So think about this as we're now reading this, because this is bad fruit. Paul says, you want bad fruit? Here's what bad fruit looks like. All right, here we go. He says, it is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex, a stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage, frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness, trinket gods, magic show religion, paranoid loneliness, cutthroat competition, all-consuming yet never satisfied wants, a brutal temper, an impotence to love or be loved, divided homes, divided lives, small-minded and lopsided pursuits, the vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival, uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions, ugly parodies of the community. I could go on. This isn't the first time I've warned you, you know. If you use your freedom this way, you will not inherit God's kingdoms. Ah, that's worse than bad strawberries, I'd say, wouldn't it? You know what, though? I'm glad Paul put that in there. And I love how Eugene Peterson puts it, because in effect, that is exactly what people around you are getting from you if you're living a life that does not have a heart that's full. They're getting bad fruit. And they need good fruit. This world needs good fruit. And the cool thing about this passage is that Paul doesn't stop there. Because if he did, I'd be like, oh, I want something good here. Because Paul then contrasts that. And by the way, this is in Galatians 5. He now says, you want to know what good fruit looks like? Here's what good fruit looks like. He says, but what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an... It's twice. Wow. There's relevance. All right. So he brings, just much like fruit appears in an orchard, things like this: affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal communities or commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Man, how many of you know that's some good fruit? And people know that when they see that in you. Why? Because you know what happens? When a circumstance comes colliding at you, when a circumstance comes hits you from left field, guess how you respond? You respond like this, with good fruit, immediately. Why? Because you've got it already inside of you. Because really, I know I like the way Eugene Peterson puts this, but in the literal translation, what are these things that are inside of you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness. These are the fruits of the Spirit. So even when hate smacks you upside the head, psh, love, whoa. Even when the temptation to worry comes in and hits you, confidence, patience, kindness. See, these things come out of a heart that is a heart of God or a heart of good. But I didn't mention the last fruit. And these are called the fruit of the Spirit, by the way, for those of you who haven't read that passage before. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, literally. Because if you have the Spirit inside of you, that's the fruit people will see. And the last one that I didn't mention is this. It's called self-discipline. Ooh. That's that one that you're like, oh, that word. But you know what? It's really not a bad word. In fact, I think the reason that Paul puts self-discipline at the end of all these others is because unless you have the invisible chip of discipline inserted into the equation, these visible expressions of fruit, they won't be there. Because it takes a disciplined life. And the cool thing about the word discipline is it has the same root as the word disciple. And what is disciple? It's an easy definition, is a follower. Follower of who? Follower of Jesus. So by his Spirit, he already gives us the ability inside us to be able to have that discipline to respond correctly when stimulus hits us. Recently, I was talking with a man, good man. He's known God his a long time in his life, and he just kind of went down a bad path recently, just really struggling with a lot of things. And this is where the rubber met the road for him. And I was like, what's going on? And he was like, you know what? He's like, my bank accounts are empty. He's like, I am so gripped with a fear of what's going to happen in my life that's all I can think about. I can't think about anything else. And I'm like, wow. I was like, let's talk about that for a little bit. And immediately what I'm sensing, you know what? Worry, anxiety, that is not good fruit. I know that's not good fruit. He's choosing to think about these things. And so we started talking. And over the last several months, I'm telling you, it has been the most incredible transformation. And what did we do? We just went back to putting God deposits back inside of him. We just started reading God's word and we began to pray. And you know what? Now he says, I no longer have that fear. Because what he was doing was he was fearing because he didn't have anything inside anymore. It had been so long since he had those deposits. And so when life smacked him upside the head, he began to fear. And what did he do? He began to control. And he made some really bad choices out of that. And over the last few months, he says, I've begun to trust. I'm trusting God in his word in Matthew 6, where it says, you know what? If I'm going to take care of the birds who don't even have to worry about food, you don't have to worry about a thing. I'm going to take care of you. All you need to do is seek first my kingdom, Matthew 6:33. The burden you could just see lift off of him. And you could see that now fear was replaced with trust. And trust meant letting go. And letting go led him to some really good decisions that he's been making recently. See, that brings it home. You know, I wonder what it would be like to have everyone at the Orchard looking for ways to build heart capacity, to fill their heart. I wonder what it would be like if to have everyone hungry for more God deposits. And what would happen if everyone was making everyday choices? And I'm talking about the tall choices, the grande choices, and even the venti choices of life out of a full heart motivated by God. I think it's safe to say that transformation would occur, not just in your heart and in your life, but in the rest of your spheres of influence. And the cool thing about all of this is that Jesus reminds us that when it comes to the biggest choice that you will ever make in your life, who am I going to serve? The choice was actually made before us. Because in John 15, that same passage where he talks about the vine, he says a little bit later, see, you didn't choose me, remember? He says, I chose you. And I put you in the world to do what? To bear fruit that won't spoil. And as fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relationship to me, he gives you. But remember the root command, love one another. Well, over the next few weekends, you're going to be challenged about this area of choosing. We can choose to put our time in on the weekends and just check it off our list, or we can choose to put everything we hear into play and watch the world around us be transformed. The choice is ours. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that really gives us a great template for our lives. Thank you, God, that you didn't just make us robots where we push a button and we're going to just do whatever. But Lord, you gave us the ability to choose. You gave us that loving choice. And Father, I thank you that even before we chose, you already chose to love us. You already chose to send your Son down here for us. And your word says that greater love has no man than he who would lay down his life for us. And Jesus, I thank you for doing that for me. I thank you for doing that for every single person who's in this room today. And I pray that you would help us to build greater, bigger, fuller hearts, full of your goodness, so that we might live out, make good choices, and live out those good actions and that good fruit to be fruit bearers like your word says and transform our world. We just ask that you'd help us and guide us in all of these things. In your name we pray. Amen.
This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.